Welcome to episode 155 of Practical Defense. Rest Stops with Dave Baker. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. This week, we have a great interview with my father-in-law, Dave Baker. Dave has been a guest on the show before, way back in episode 23. And for those that don't remember, Dave is a former Los Angeles County deputy and a Vietnam veteran. Last time, we chatted with him about his experiences in law enforcement. This time, we narrow the subject to highway rest stops and look at the risks involved with them and some tips on how to keep yourself and your family a bit safer if you would like to use them. And with that, on to the interview.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
So, Dave, thanks for joining us. It's actually nice to have you in the house this time for the interview rather than across the country.
It's nice to be here.
So, with your experience as a deputy sheriff, in many of our conversations, you've mentioned that you really don't like rest stops and that they're a security risk. And yet, all the time we hear, go to the rest stop. If you feel sleepy, don't pull over to the side of the road. Go to a rest stop. That there seems to be a real contradiction there.
Well, there is, because if all that was being done at the rest stops was people sleeping, it wouldn't be a problem. But it's really a prime location for criminals to operate on the prey of the motorist that's trying to take a nap.
So let's take a moment to talk about some of the risks involved at rest stops and things that my listeners can look out for and watch out for and be aware of.
Well, the first thing would be to look for people that look like they really don't belong there.
What type of person doesn't belong at a rest stop? I mean, you see every swath of society as people do their driving, especially now with the stuff going on with the TSA, a lot of people are opting to drive rather than fly.
Yeah, not as I travel through and I pull into a rest stop, I see people that just kind of set a signal off. I don't know how to explain it. They don't look like the people are going to jump into one of the cars that are parked there or one of the big rigs that are parked there. They just don't look like they belong. And it's something you feel. And those are the ones to watch out for, especially in a rest stop where it's just you and them. If you ever pull into a rest stop and you're the only car and there's someone hanging around, that means go on, get out of there.
Now, when we talk about rest stops, are you referring to, your local batch of fast food restaurants? Or are you talking about like official rest stops with bathrooms and beds and things like that?
No, I'm actually talking about the rest stops that you'd find along an interstate that have just bathroom facilities. I'm not talking about going and checking into a motel, even though there are some risks there. But the rest stops on the highway, you know what they are. They're the ones where all the trucks are parked in there and a lot of cars. You go and use the facilities. And that's usually all it is a bathroom, every now and then a vending machine. And those are the ones that I think are the most dangerous.
I know some of these are going to be rather obvious, but let's talk about the types of crimes that happen at these locations. Are they mostly robberies, armed robberies?
Robberies, if it's a young woman traveling alone, rape is another one that's common. Car theft, obviously. Hijacking of a big rig truck and its contents. But I think the number one is either a strong arm or armed robbery.
What type of precautions can people take in order to best protect themselves in these situations?
Well, if possible, when you use the facilities, if you go with someone, it's always better two than just one. Always, always lock your car. I can't tell you how many times I've pulled into them and seen the cars running and nobody in them.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. And that's
leaving the engine running and walking away from your car?
Yeah. Well, there are people who are just not security aware, and they got to go to the bathroom. I have the urge. They pull in there, jump out, leave the car running, and that's just asking for it. I've always said, if you're going to look like low-hanging fruit, you're going to get picked.
That's a good phrase.
Yeah, you know, you have to be careful. You have to be aware. When I pull in, I look around. You know, if there are a lot of big rig trucks there, I feel much safer than if there aren't. Especially for someone driving a motorhome or something like that, we'll park in between them. Those two big rigs are pretty good security, you know.
Okay.
So the drivers, they're helpful, and they know that you're there, and, you know, they keep an eye out. But, you know, when they have the rest stops where they're split, where the big rigs are on one side and the automobiles on the other side, that other side might be a place where you'd be, you know, taking a risk, and you just have to do the right things, you know. Look around. Don't park next to someone who doesn't look like they belong, you know. Or if you see a family or something, park right where they are, you know, because less chance of an attack taking place if there are people that can witness it. You know, keep your door locked would be number one. If you're going to go walk around, like walk the dog, stay as close to the other traffic as you can. Because some of them say the dog area is over here. That may be, you know, 30 yards away from where you park. So your wife's down there with the dog and you're going into these facilities. That's a bit risky, I think.
So don't split up. Stay together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like being in war. That's the number one thing, I think, is just to be aware of your surroundings. And I think that's true in any, you know, self where you want to protect yourself, you know, garages and things like that. But at a rest stop, it's clearly what you should do.
Let's talk now about some of your personal experiences. Did you get called out to many rest stops as a deputy sheriff?
No, I didn't really, but I got called out to areas that presented the same problems. Because when I was deputy sheriff, I worked in Altadena, not near any interstate that had rest stops, but we had a lot of mountain area pullouts where kids would go up and hang out. And those were dangerous places, you know, because they were where nobody could see them. There was no interstate going by where, you know, if you're waving a flag, someone might stop. Up there, you're at risk even more so, because not just that you're in an isolated place, but that's where criminals like to go to do whatever they're going to do. Because there's no lights, no telephones. So now we have cell phones, of course, but still, it's risky. And I don't think, you know, you need to be doing that. Other places are in parking lots anywhere, you know, where you stop. It's the same thing. If you just look around in most cases before you, you know, exit the car or when you're entering the car, you know, be careful. If you see anything and you've got the emergency button on your key ring, use it. Sound will always scare a criminal away.
One of the things that surprises me, and a lot of people don't understand, is that these criminal attacks take a very short amount of time. And I've seen surveillance video of crimes happening in one row of cars, and people are walking down the next row over and don't notice it's going on. So you can have people 15 feet away from you, and they will not come to your aid because they don't even know what's going on. Even if they would come to the aid, they don't even know what's going on. But the chances of getting assistance, someone intervening, are really, really small.
Yeah, of course. There's a couple of reasons. First, the people don't want to get involved because that puts them at risk. Someone who's attacking someone could easily turn on someone else if you tried to help. But if it were me, I think I would try to help, or at least get other help and go together to help the person that's being attacked. But, you know, when I hear about stories like that where people are just 15 feet away, I really can't understand why someone wouldn't at least yell. Or, I mean, not the person being attacked, but a bystander, witness, why he wouldn't yell just as much as the victim should be yelling. Because I believe that all in every case, sound really helps, you know.
Well, in the cases of the videos that I saw, they were oblivious. They were, you know, talking on their cell phones, they were talking amongst themselves, and they're not looking over a stack of two cars to the next row to see this man walk up, cold cock a lady, and then stuff her in his car. And he was gone in 10 seconds. And there were six people, 15 feet away, two car lengths.
Well, when you go to one of those places, your primary goal is to exit securely, get to the restroom if that's where you're going, and get back safely. You know, you shouldn't be stopping around, calling someone, trying to find a signal in the sky, you know, and not, that's when you're really not aware of what's around you. You know, and someone can sneak up on you, like you said, in just a very short time, hit you over the head, take your car keys, take your wallet, you know, or even worse.
Now, what about in terms of sleeping? A friend of mine was doing a north-south route from Oregon down to California, and he was falling asleep at the wheel. So he pulled over to the side of the road, and he was taking a nap. And a CHP officer, an interstate highway officer, came by, woke him up, and said, keep going, go down to the rest stop, because they wouldn't let him pull over the side of the road. On his way down there, he fell asleep at the wheel on the way to the rest stop and drove off the road and crashed. So they say, find a rest stop, take a nap. You know, if you feel tired, yeah, pull over and rest. What about these, you know, taking a nap in your car at these rest stops, like so often we're told to do?
I don't think that's a good idea at all, unless you've got someone who's willing to stay awake in your car and keep an eye out. But I knew a gentleman. He belonged to an amateur radio club that I was a member of. And he had gone to a rest stop somewhere in Arizona. I don't remember the exact location. And fallen asleep. And the next we heard, he was dead. Someone had killed him in that rest stop. And, you know, a lot of people go in there to sleep. But if I were on the road by myself, first of all, I'd make sure I found a place to stay before I got too tired to drive. The second thing was I would go to a place that's more populated. One of the greatest places to sleep in a parking lot is in a hospital parking lot, the police station parking lot. If you go in and ask them, they usually don't care. You just tell them you're going to catch some sleep. You know, they're glad to have you there. There's not much chance of getting attacked there. The other thing are casino parking lots along the interstates, because they have really good security. You know, they got people patrolling the parking lot, and they got the cameras everywhere, and people are less likely to commit the crimes in that situation.
It never would have occurred to me to pull into a CHP or highway patrol parking lot to take a nap. That's a very good idea.
Yeah, I think that they would much rather see you there than to have to respond to a call to try and save your life. You know, and if you know, you're not, it's not like you're moving in, you're just getting some sleep, going to get some rest. And I think they actually appreciate it when someone comes in and tells them that. Here's an interesting fact for people who are in RVs full time, is that most Walmarts allow you to park overnight in your RV in a Walmart. And it's a really safe place because they have good security. Most are open 24 hours. And you might find other RVs already there. And if you park near them, that's added security because you have them watching out as well. And I've done that many a times from, you know, Washington to Key West. It was, you know, if I was tired, but I wanted to stop and try and find an actual RV park, Walmart was my choice. You know, as long as you don't abuse that thing. And they like it because typically you're going to go in there and buy something, you know, when you wake up.
All right, Dave, I think that pretty much covers it. Gave us some really good insight and some really good recommendations. And I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. Your support truly matters. You can help today. Visit redcross.org.
Well, that will do it for this week. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexhaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe. Practical Offense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com.
Music by K. Kevin MacLeod.